This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Jack Lepiarz. Local colleges and universities are coming to grips with a major decision by the National Labor Relations Board saying graduate student researchers and teaching assistants can unionize. The decision from the NLRB means graduate students and even undergraduates who work as research assistants are to be considered employees of the school, not just students. For more on the decision, we spoke with Boston employment attorney Ellen Messing, and we asked her about arguments from universities, including Harvard and MIT, which say unionization by students will disrupt academic mentoring and research.
I'm not sure why it would be a disruption in the academic environment, because the topics on which the graduate students can organize are limited by the National Labor Relations Act to wages, hours, and working conditions. So the academic freedom of the university faculty, what goes on in the classroom is not affected. And as the decision itself pointed out, the kinds of issues that universities raised as concerns in this case are ones that can readily be separated from the economic issues that were at the heart of the case.
Such as what were those issues?
That the educational process is personal between student and teacher, that bargaining is not a process that's consistent with the higher education undertaking, that the student-teacher relationship is the central function of an academic institution, that collective bargaining could infringe on academic freedom. What the decision said is you can have two roles. You can study as a student, you can do research as a student, you can be governed in all things relative to your life as a student, but you can bargain collectively with the institution about your wages and hours.
How large of an impact do you see this having here in Massachusetts? We've got more than 100 colleges and universities. Efforts to unionize graduate students are already underway at some schools.
It probably depends on how many of those graduate student groups actually gel into unions. I imagine that one practical impact will be an increase in pay for graduate students, whether in an effort to hold off unionization or as a response to it. That may potentially affect contingent faculty as well, the next level up in the workforce at universities.
Do you see this fight by students to unionize, which is already underway in some locations, do you see this possibly getting messy?
Messy? The entire academic enterprise has always been messy at every level. I would hope that administrations would recognize that underpayment is a serious problem among their graduate student employees, many of whom are well into their 20s and have responsibilities that they need to handle on the money that they earn from their educational institutions. This is something that can presumably be debated and addressed by thoughtful, intelligent people on college campuses.
This is not the first time the board has ruled on this issue. And since the board has ruled both ways previously, what happens if students form unions and then this decision is overturned later?
Well, the schools will have to decide whether they would continue to recognize those unions. That has happened in the past with other decisions where the board has shrunk the scope of its recognition of unions. And sometimes institutions decide to no longer recognize unions that were previously certified. Sometimes institutions decide for the sake, essentially, of labor peace to continue their recognition of those unions.
Ellen Messing is an employment attorney with the firm Messing, Radovsky, and Welicki in Boston. Thank you for speaking to WBUR.
Thank you.
You can find more of WBUR's education reporting at wbur.org/edify.